Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
Welcome to the KNBR pregame show. Bill Lasky, Kerry Crowley, and Marty Lurie. And my guest today has been covering the Colorado Rockies since 2000. Of course, the Giants are off to Colorado next weekend. But let's bring in our friend, Thomas Harding, to the show. How are you doing today, Thomas?
Feeling good, feeling clean. I'm here in Washington, D.C., where the Rockies are going for a sweep, but trailing 2-0 against the Washington Nationals.
Well, let's talk about this Colorado Rocky team. The first 61 games on the road, they were 14-47. In the last 15, they're 11-4. And like you said, they're winning. They won their last 7 out of 8 on the road. What is going on with the Colorado Rockies all of a sudden?
I think that they are kind of settling into who they are, who they're going to be. I mean, there are still holes in this lineup, but a few things have happened over the course of the season. Brendan Rodgers, the rookie, has come on quite a bit since getting healthy in May. He began the year with a hamstring injury. Also, C.J. Cron at first base. He's had a strong second half, so has Elias Diaz at catcher. And also lately, Trevor Story, the bat, has woken up a little bit. So you're starting to see a team that is that does have holes, but it has some attributes also. A good enough group of complementary players. Maybe not enough stars in the lineup, and also a decent starting pitcher.
Well, Thomas Harding is joining me on the pregame show here. You can read his work on Twitter at Harding_@ with the words AT_MLB. A rookie that was called up, 22-year-old Ryan Velotti. He was the 2017 second pick overall by Colorado, and he's noted as the number 5 prospect, hitting the ball real well in Albuquerque, hitting .286, 7 home runs and 27 doubles. He only's gotten one game, and he was 0-for-4 yesterday. Tell us a little bit about this rookie.
Yeah, it's Ryan Velotti. And okay. Velotti, second-round pick out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, actually graduated from the same high school as Matt Holliday, so he's done pretty well with that school before, I would have to say. Big fellow, this is 6'2", at 6'2", 226. I mean, he really looks like a well put together guy. The last time there was minor league baseball, he was in Class A, so he spent this year in AAA. I think this is an opportunity for him to get his feet wet at the big league level, and I think that next year he would be more in the plans for this team once he kind of finishes his development. He is a pretty good hitter, understands the strike zone, understands how to get on base. But the thing about him is they think he's going to develop some power, and that may take some time.
Well, Thomas, another player that's really been playing well is the second baseman, Brendan Rodgers, 11 for 31 in his last 7 games, 3 home runs, playing extremely well, 14 home runs for the year. Boy, he's gotten hot. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah, he was their top draft pick a few years back, and the last 2 years he struggled because he had some shoulder injuries when he came to the major leagues. Actually, both years he finished the year on the injured list. They decided this year, when they traded Nolan Arenado, that opened up a spot for him in the infield. Ryan McMahon has moved over to third base. Rodgers has come in at second base, and it took about 3 or 4 weeks for him to really get going. And I'll tell you what's odd about him. He has 14 home runs, and I think it's 12 of them on the road.
Wow. Another guy you had mentioned was C.J. Crone. Of course, the Diamondbacks had him in through the minor leagues, but he has just adapted at first base, playing regularly. As you said, hitting 27 home runs. He's into the lineup again today. Has he done anything to keep him on this roster for the following year, or do they think the plans might change at first base?
My thought is he's one of the guys they have to sign. A lot of first basemen in their early 30s, they don't get the huge contract elsewhere. So the Rockies should be very competitive in keeping him as a free agent. Unless somebody just amazing falls into their lap, I think they have to bring him back. Because if you look at the Rockies, I think this lineup is going to need two good bats. You don't want to take a step back. So I think C.J. Crone is the guy they have to hang on to. Hey, here's a guy who has been above 20 home runs in the 30 homer range for the Twins. He did it for the Rays. He has never had a multi-year contract, so maybe there's a possibility the Rockies can hang on to him and then look elsewhere for a couple more bats.
Well, we definitely have to talk about Trevor Story. Of course, he was upset not getting traded in July at the trade deadline. He's also having a decent year, around 250, 23 home runs. Do you see it possibly him coming back to Colorado, or do you hear the rumors that the Texas Rangers are going to fill his pocket with some good money?
Well, I did hear earlier that the Rangers were going to fill his pocket with some good money, but there are some questions here, because does he want to go from a situation in Colorado where they struggled this year to the Rangers, where you know that they're probably going to struggle next year? I don't know that he lifts them into a playoff-type team. At the time of the trade deadline, my thought was there's no way that Trevor Story would come back here. But now, with a kind of a glut of shortstops on the market, you do wonder, does he accept the qualifying offer, kind of the one-year pillow contract, and come back to the team? Or has the team done enough so far to get to, you know, a lot more competent baseball? What if they're able to make a move or two really early in the offseason? Does that convince Trevor Story, and the money, of course, does that convince them to stick around here and try to get this thing right? Because my feeling about this team is that if they make the right moves, they'll still go to next year behind the Dodgers and the Giants, but they've shown in the past they can make some moves with their bullpen during the season. It just seems like there's a possibility that they may actually be competitive next year, which I don't think you would have said that in April, May, and June.
Thomas Harding joining me on the KMBR pregame show from Washington, where the Colorado Rockies are losing 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth. But boy, oh boy, Colorado's going to entertain the NL West coming at you this week. Starting Tuesday, three games versus the LA Dodgers, and then following up next week and with the Giants, with three in Colorado. Six top competitive games coming at you. Thomas, tell me your thoughts on these six.
Well, and I was looking at a stat that the Rockies turned out today, I believe it is. But let's see here. Before July 10th, the Rockies were 19-37 against teams 500 or above. Since then, they're 21-21 against teams 500 or above. So you're looking at a team that's kind of figured out some things about playing baseball. Now, lately, they played a little bit better against the Dodgers than the Giants. They won 2 of 3 at Dodger Stadium. Then they came back home and got swept by the Giants, which, for me, that surprised me a little bit. But the Giants pitched so well that series and got early runs that series. I mean, I watched what Gabe Kapler's done with that team and just how well that they are playing together. It's not just individuals that are doing amazing things. It's that the lineup fits together, the pitching fits together, the bullpen seems to work. It's the type of team that can go a long way, and you've seen that in San Francisco before.
Well, one of the things Colorado Rockies been doing is their pitching's been really pitching well. Their starters, especially with Kyle Freeland yesterday, 6 shutout innings. And the bullpen, all of a sudden, on the road trips, have got their in-run average down around 3. What has compelled the Rockies in this competitive pitching stats they have thrown out there?
Well, first, I think that if you go back to even before the season, they thought that their starting rotation would be very good. And the series against the Dodgers, we'll find out. It's almost like they're in this pretend pennant race. They're going with Antonio Cinsicella, Germán Márquez, and Kyle Freeland against the Dodgers. And it's like, okay, You're not in a pennant race. It is September, but pitch like it's that type of game. As far as the bullpen is concerned, you look at some of the guys that have pitched well. There was some pain earlier in the season. And over the course of the season, they've actually worked on developing guys. They've developed Carlos Estevez into a guy that's getting a chance as a closer. You look at some of the setup guys, whether it's Tyler Kinley, Robert Stevenson. Those guys at times struggled this year, but they're kind of pulling it together. They kept getting chances here. Daniel Bard has moved back into the middle of the ball game, and really, I've always thought that was the better place for him. You can match him up against right-handed bats in the middle of the ball game. So the team is they've kind of figured out how to use guys, and some guys have improved to the point to where they could be used in tight situations.
Thomas, you've been covering the NL West for over 20 years. Now coming down to Dodgers and the Giants to take first place, who do you think is going to win it, and why?
I think the Giants are going to win it. It is. I just feel like it's their year. I feel like they pitch well enough, and as I said, that lineup, it's just such a well-oiled thing here. Now they can struggle a bit late in games in the bullpen if Jake McGee isn't on a particular day, but generally they kind of know who to go to. They match up well out of the bullpen. I'm going to give it to them right now, and here's the other reason why, and the thing that I asked Bud Black about this really back at the trade deadline. A lot of people were thinking, why don't the Giants blow it up, you know, trade their high-priced veteran-type players? Guess what? Those guys know what to do when a game is on the line, and I think that's made a huge difference in this game.
Thomas Harding, thank you so much for your time, and I know you're at the Washington, Colorado game in Washington. Have a good day. Safe trip back to Colorado, and most likely we'll talk to you next week in Colorado. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, Marty Lurie with Adam Copeland. But before I throw that to you, Giants fans, tune in to Extra Innings tonight, where I have a great conversation with Javi Lopez, his career, and four World Series rings. And we talk about 10, 12, and 14 with Javi Lopez. All coming up next as on KNBR, the sports leader.